Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. Hope everyone out there is staying safe and wearing masks. This episode, we've got Austin Karp from Sports Business Journal to break down some sports media news, U.S. Open leaving Fox for NBC, the Gulf U.S. Open, that is, what impact the election could have on NFL ratings, what leagues have the most to lose if Corona shuts down a season, and a couple of other things we get into in terms of sports media news, sports business news with Austin Karp, the managing editor at Sports Business Journal. If you missed any previous episodes, go into the archives and check those out. Subscribe, rate, and review. And we will get this episode rolling right now with Austin Karp of Sports Business Journal. All right, joining me now to go through some sports media news is the managing editor for Sports Business Journal, Austin Karp. Austin, how's it going?
Not bad. Thanks for having me back.
My pleasure. A couple of interesting things happened this week that I wanted to discuss that I find interesting. Well, there's two main things I really want to get into and then a couple others. Let's start with the golf, with the U.S. Open leaving Fox, going back to NBC. I think there's a lot of layers to that story there because Fox, the U.S. Open gets moved from June to September, and Fox in September has NFL, college football, MLB, maybe some other things I don't even know about. And they just couldn't find a way to air it. But did this happen because of that or because of money with, you know, Fox was paying, I think it was $93 million a year for the tournament. Now NBC is paying $40 million. So why did this happen and how did it happen?
Well, I think the impetus is exactly what you referred to. It was that crowded fall schedule that Fox is eyeballing. And, you know, they're getting really good numbers with Big Ten football on Saturdays and their whole slate of games throughout Saturday. And, of course, the NFL. And then it's kind of snowballed there with NBC. Fox was potentially, and they were, looking to get out of the deal. And NBC was happy to take it back. They're big into golf. And like you said, NBC is going to be paying, you know, probably around $40 million of that fee per year. So Fox is still going to be on the hook for over like $50 million annually through 2027 to not air USGA events. It's very interesting.
And because Fox all along, I mean, they took a pretty good beating in the first couple of years that they aired the U.S. Open, but they were all in on it. And, you know, they used Joe Buck and various innovations, and the bashing of Fox covering golf sort of faded away the last few years. So I thought it was interesting that they would just jump ship. But if they don't have the places to air it, what are they supposed to do?
They had talked about Fox Sports One, but I'm sure that was not something that the USGA was particularly interested in for what is essentially, you know, the biggest, one of the top two golf tournaments in the U.S. But I mean, for NBC to get it back, it's big. But like you talked about, Fox was developing. They got hammered the first couple of years with the production and how they were trying things. But, you know, credit to Fox for trying new things and trying to get a younger demo to watch golf, because it's no surprise that Fox or that golf has just an incredibly older demographic, and you want to try to bring in, you know, that 18 to 34 male demo to watch sports, that casual sports fan.
Right. And is NBC going to run into any issues? Because I guess they would have Notre Dame football. Mm-hmm. It's Sunday night football. So I don't know, probably not I don't know if it runs into maybe the pregame show on that, but I guess they could always put it on NBC Sports, the golf on NBC Sports if they had to. I don't know how that works, but less complications than Fox. But you think there'd be any complications there with NBC? Because all the networks are going to be stacked in the fall if these sports come back and they're not interrupted.
The complications I could potentially see would be around some of the Triple Crown races you're going to have, Preakness, Kentucky Derby in the fall. And that might bump into it on a Saturday. You can definitely dance around the Notre Dame issue. And, I mean, NBC for years has not had an issue with the golf leading into Sunday Night Football, whether it's the Players' Championship or some of the other FedEx Cup tournaments in the fall. So I don't expect it's going to be too much of an issue for NBC Sports to squeeze all that in.
Now, when I said there's a lot of layers to this, I think for me, the biggest layer is, does this mean networks might try to tighten their belt with sports rights? Because the sports rights have just gone through the roof, no matter, you know, they don't ever seem to really take a hit. But now with the pandemic, all these networks have lost money on advertising revenue over the last 4 months. you know, NFL, their contract, their network contracts are up soon. I don't know the status of maybe the, I know MLB, they're headed for some labor issues, but Fox, Turner just re-upped for big money there. So I don't know how to read it. Like Turner gave Fox, gave MLB a ton of money for a package that nobody watches on Sunday. I know they're going to move it probably to Tuesday nights. I think that was your report for Sports Business Journal, but you know, where do we see the sports rights bubble going after COVID?
I don't think the bubble's going to pop, but I think it's going to, you know, deflate a little bit. I think it's definitely going to be a world of haves and have-nots. Like you said, like Turner recently was re-upping with MLB. Fox had already done similarly with Major League Baseball. I think Major League Baseball will, you know, see a decent uptick when it re-ups that ESPN portion or whoever takes that portion of the contract. Similarly for the NFL is not going to see a big downtick. It's the biggest dog out there. And that could be part of Fox's move, was kind of trying to save, you know, $40, $50 million annually so they can re-up that. And Fox also has deals coming up in the coming years with Big Ten. They're going to want to retain that property, or the Pac-12 in a couple of years as well. Pac-12 is angling to see where they're going to go. So Fox has a lot of bigger properties coming up, and it's also already paying for the World Cup. So, like, if this is a zero-sum game, who can suffer, or potentially the properties underneath there? You're talking about, like, Triple Crown races. Like, each of those individually are tied up with NBC. So does the Belmont Stakes get renewed with NBC in a year or so? Or IndyCar coming up? Or even something like PBA or Breeders' Cup? Or MLS comes up in a couple of years. If all these second-tier properties that are now going to be figuring out where they can go to get increases in dollars for their media rights.
It's interesting, too, because with the lack of sports over the last 4 months, when there have been certain things, NFL draft, the Jordan, The Last Dance, and we've even seen it, NASCAR, I think their ratings have been very strong. The Women's Soccer League, the NWSL, strong ratings. Do you think when the four major sports in this country, and I guess you could even say five, because it's really, I mean, college football is way more popular than the NHL. Do the things that people have sort of gravitated towards because there's nothing else going on, you think those things come down? Or do you think this is an opportunity where people might stick around and, you know, see that they discovered something new and like what they see and they stick around? Or is it just when everything comes back, is it just too much sports for everyone to watch?
Well, I think one initial truth is that the comeback for any of these sports is going to be incredibly popular at the beginning. I mean, just, you know, like you talked about, NWSL getting around 575,000 viewers, somewhere in there. It was the first time it was ever on broadcast TV, a women's club level game. So that was a great number for them. But now that league is essentially going to disappear behind the CBS All Access paywall. So there's not going to really be I don't think there's going to be a real pickup in fandom around that, because no one's going to be able to find it unless maybe you're going to browse for Star Trek and you come across NWSL matches that happen to be side by side.
All right.
But NASCAR, yeah, started really strong with that race back, but their numbers have kind of tapered off a little bit. It's kind of tough. You have that mix of Wednesday night and Sunday, and, you know, and to NASCAR's credit, I mean, they've also been impacted pretty heavily by rain. Something like four or five races have either delayed races by hours or pushed it back to a Monday. So, I mean, since they come back, it hasn't been a string of good luck there. But so I think the jury is still out on that one. But like MLB opening day, I can see that as a record for ESPN. I can see the first NBA games that come back being, you know, some sort of regular season record, because those initial games back, people are going to want to see the novelty of it all. Earlier on during the pandemic, you're talking about the Last Dance numbers and the NFL draft numbers. That was the only game in town. Now you're seeing many more leagues out there. There are more things to watch. The weather's a little nicer. It's summer. People are getting out a little more. Maybe they shouldn't, but they're getting out there a little more. So I don't think you're going to see those huge record-setting numbers for some of the other properties like you saw earlier on during the stay-at-home orders.
I think you just hit on something that, for me, I think is a huge factor, and that's the summer. I think MLB comes back opening day. Yes, I think you'll see a big rating there. But the theory that MLB could be in for a big ratings increase, because it'll be the only, I guess NBA will be back at that time too. But the point I'm trying to make is you've had people indoors for 3-4 months. Now it's the summer. I mean, I know here where I am, beaches and pools are open. As much as people miss sports and said for 3 months how they're dying for sports, I don't know in the middle of the summer after being trapped in your house for 3-4 months if you're going to just sit in front of the TV and watch sports. I mean, it's
no.
That's, I think that could be, outside of Corona, that could be the biggest issue that these leagues have in terms of getting ratings.
I mean, yeah, you may not be competing with going out to bars, but you might be competing with putting your feet in an inflatable pool in your front lawn.
Right. That's exactly right. And who wouldn't want to do that right now after, you know, we've, like I said, we've been inside for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned something there that I wanted to pick up on, and now I completely forgot about it, and I am a bad host. So
I hope it's not Star Trek.
No, it was not Star Trek. It was something about, I don't know, I'll remember it. But yeah, the NFL, let me ask you this. All of these sports that are set to come back, MLB is set to come back, NBA, NHL, and the NFL has, they're vowing, they're starting on time no matter what. Which one of those four leagues, and we could throw college football in there as well, I guess. Which one of those leagues, if, and I think there's landscapers next door to me, so if you hear a lawnmower, we're just going to keep plowing through this. I apologize to you,
no worries, listeners.
This is one of the offsets of Corona. Where, which league, if it got shut down, mm-hmm. if MLB started and stopped and they had to cancel the season, if the NBA, everyone's in the bubble testing positive, they shut down, they end the season, the NFL, who has the most to lose? Who has the most to lose financially from that?
You know, I have to think it's college sports in general, college football. If you focus on college football, if there is not a college football season, the ramifications for that across the entire college sports landscape is potentially devastating. I mean, we've seen some schools already start cutting sports. It's generally schools that are outside your Power Five conferences. But now you start removing football from the equation in places like Tuscaloosa and Norman. Like, that's really tough to keep a lot of those programs at schools across the country going at all. And you could be talking about a potential gutting of Title IX. It could get that far. That's the how important it is to have college football happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then take away college from a pro standpoint. Mm-hmm. What do you think there? Who's got the most to lose?
I got to say NHL. Just be, in terms of visibility and recognition, the NHL is already having a tough, or has already had tough years, I'd say, staying as popular as it used to be. And now they're coming up on a media rights deal, which I still think they'll see an increase for. But, you know, and if they want to keep as popular as they are now and keep growing, losing a season, I think, could really hurt them more than anybody else.
Yeah, it's funny. I've said this on this podcast, I think 2 or 3 weeks in a row now, about, I feel like, and you know, maybe this is a Twitter thing, and again, we can't judge things off of Twitter, but maybe that, but I feel like all of us have focused so much on MLB, NBA, NFL. And I think the craziest story, to piggyback on what you said before, is going to be college football, because this is just so different everywhere in the country with the mm-hmm. virus. And, you know, I don't know how they navigate that. I don't think it's gotten the attention it deserves, because that sport, college football, is, I think, by far the hardest to navigate how they put forth the season.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to see teams meeting up in Dallas for an Advocare showdown at the start of the season? Like, I don't know how that's going to happen. I definitely see an increase in those regional games. Maybe that's all they do this season. Maybe it's just within a ACC bubble. You're just playing games that you can get on a bus and go to. I think there's going to be a lot of shift. There's going to be some shifting of the schedule, and everyone's just going to have to be as flexible as possible. And fans are going to be disappointed, but some football, I believe, will be better than no football.
Right. You just reminded me of a tweet I saw this morning from Pro Football Talk, where they said there's discussions where NFL teams will fly into and out of the city they're supposed to play in on a road game. And the players were not, from the responses on Twitter, the players were not thrilled with that idea. So that'll be something interesting to see how that plays out.
I can't imagine how that could go haywire.
I mean, yeah, going to be wild. Speaking of the NFL, let's, you know, go into fantasy land here and assume they start on time. Mm-hmm. And let's assume they play a season here. Obviously, now the anthem has become a big topic in this. Mm-hmm. And if ratings take a hit, that's what's going to be blamed. But I think it's amazing to me that I have not read anyone talk about what I think was a big reason for a ratings decrease in 2016 was the election year. The cable news numbers, as you know, I don't have to tell you, were through the roof that year. And the NFL numbers took a hit. And I feel like people are going to focus on kneeling. I feel like it's already happened. But the NFL has to deal with going against an election. Now, this one I don't think is as juicy as Trump versus Hillary, because we didn't know exactly what Trump maybe was back then, and Biden is not as controversial as Hillary Clinton. But do you think the election will be a factor here in NFL ratings again?
I don't think it's going to be as big a factor. The election will be as big a factor this year as it was in 2016. Like you said, that initial uptick for those, you know, your three big cable news networks, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, were 40, 50, 60, 70. That was the numbers and increases were just incredible. And now if you talk to anybody at that time, you know, the 2016, 2017 seasons, anybody who lives in the numbers, who lives in the ratings, they'll tell you that the whole kneeling thing was completely overblown as far as impact on ratings.
Right.
The thing that was affecting the NFL numbers back then were poor quarterback play and lopsided scores. People don't like watching blowouts, and all the blowouts seem to happen on either Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, which really amplified it a lot when you have the one game and, you know, no one's tuning in to watch it. Come to 2020, the quarterback play is as good as it's been since you had, you know, Favre and Manning and Tom Brady in his earlier years going at it. I mean, it's just an incredible crop of quarterbacks, and we've seen upticks in the NFL ratings the last 2 years. So I don't really see the election leading to some sort of sharp decline in NFL ratings, not this go around.
Even with the kneeling?
No, I don't. I think kneeling is going to be
right
significant as it was treated 4 years ago. It was a new right thing 4 years ago. It was highly politicized. And I don't think it's going to be as significant a wedge issue this time.
Yeah, what I meant to say is even with the election, because mm-hmm. I mean, listen, you're 100% right. With the cable news numbers were in 2016 and not nearly what they are now. But I just wonder, as we get closer to election day and you've got, you know, August, September, October there, September and October, mainly with the NFL, if you think enough people focus on the college, on cable news, mm-hmm. where it hurts the NFL a little bit, but it is, I guess, different 2020 than 2016 in terms of the cable news boom. Well,
I also think there's something to be said for cable news fatigue. And we've been able to watch the last couple months in particular. Yeah, there were really strong numbers for those coronavirus task force press conferences, but people eventually even got tired of those. So yeah. I just think people are going to want sports to take them away from a lot of those political news shows.
Switching gears, one thing I've seen in the last couple of days, I don't pay as much attention to this stuff as I probably should, but I've noticed that I saw a couple of stories about YouTube TV increasing their monthly subscription. I think ESPN Plus bumped mm-hmm. theirs up a dollar or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
What was that?
Yeah, I saw it as well on the ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. Is that just, you know, we've lost money during Corona advertising, or is there something there in terms of subscriptions are down, or what do you think the impetus is there for that increase?
I'm sure it's a combination of factors. It could have been something that was already factored in. Like, you know, at this time, we're probably going to bump up the cost of ESPN Plus by a dollar. Netflix has done similar things over the years, and no one really bats an eye. You know, these things automatically subscribe, and people just keep going and going and going. I don't think people bounce back and forth between subscription services like some people might think. But I mean, you can't ignore the fact that people may have cut subscriptions, period, during this time. Maybe they can't afford it because of whatever reasons. That can't be ignored.
This has nothing to do with sports, so I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I saw a tweet right before we started about HBO Max, which, you know, I don't know how much you paid attention to, you know, to that and the non-sports angle of it, but that had to be like the worst rollout for a streaming service I've ever seen, because no one knew what it was and the differences between all the, and I saw that like they're disappointed with, I guess, viewership, and they're realizing that people who subscribe to just regular HBO on whatever TV service they have access to HBO Max and they don't know it. I mean, how, like, just what a disastrous rollout and PR, just bad PR for that whole thing there. I don't know if you're into that, but I
pay attention to all the streaming services that are rolling out, and there's so many of them out there. It's like trying to teach somebody to read Sanskrit these days. But in terms of terrible rollouts, I'll put Quibi right above HBO.
I still don't even know what Quibi is.
Yeah.
Like, what is Quibi?
Bad timing, something that was geared toward commuters being able to watch on your phone. When nobody's commuting, they're not going to watch your programming. I mean, in hindsight, I guess Katzenberg should have pulled back on the launch of that, maybe gone to 2021, but they thought that they can get it done. It hasn't gotten done. I'm very curious to see what the future is of that. I think HBO and Turner and AT&T, they're playing the long game with HBO Max. I mean, anybody who has, you know, been on a set-top box using the HBO Go app, they're not going to be able to even have that anymore. So you're going to have to either, you know, get the online only subscription or get onto HBO Max with, you know, authentication, I believe, to be able to see any of that programming. So a lot of those people that were sharing passwords are going to have to start all over again.
Well, that I've always been waiting for every streaming service to crack down on that. I mean, I have people using my Netflix, my WWE Network. I mean, I've long waited for that crackdown to come. I'm just curious, because you brought it up with Quibi. I mean, so you said that Quibi was aimed towards commuters.
Mm-hmm.
But why are they different from Netflix or Prime, which I watch on my phone when I commute on a train before Corona?
Well, that's the thing. It's not really meant to be watched on those big screen TVs. And the other services are like, you know, watch us anywhere, you know, but we're best on a big screen. Quibi is specifically designed, you know, for that mobile device, for you to watch on trains, for you to watch, I don't know, on your break in the lunchroom and shorter content. But people have, a little more time to view content, so they can sit down and watch a 8-part Tiger King series. They don't have to worry about an 8-minute episode. But it hasn't caught on. They haven't had a really big property or TV show that has really caught on like that. So people just haven't found the need to download Quibi. And if you're somebody like HBO Max, you better be paying attention. If you're NBC Universal and Peacock, you better be paying attention to the trends that are going on.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I couldn't name one thing that's on there. So, I mean, it's a bad job by me not paying attention to it. But I feel when I hear anything about a new streaming service, I put up a mental block. It's like, it's enough. I'm not paying for anything else. I don't care what you come out with at this point. It's enough. I pay for way too much stuff as it is. So
yeah, I mean, people always complained about the cable bundle, but when you're paying for 9 or 10 streaming services, you're going to end up paying more. That's the funny part about it.
Yeah, it's insane. And what's going on with I saw Fox had some layoffs with producers for their WWE show, WWE Backstage, which I like, and I think they laid off some soccer people. Is that just a matter of, the WWE thing is different than, I mean, they're airing soccer, so I don't get what happened there if they're.
Well, it's poorly rated shows. I mean, WWE Backstage wasn't doing too well, so FS1, they think they had to lay off around 20-21 producers. And WWE Backstage is going to move from being a weekly show to only being produced around those big events and pay-per-view matches. The cutback didn't really affect SmackDown, but I mean, WWE in particular, just I think wrestling, you know, with the TNT property that was added, or TBS, whatever Turner added, there's just a glut of professional wrestling going on right now. You just don't have that scarcity like you used to have one or maybe two nights a week of wrestling going on. And WWE just in particular seems like they're having issues with management and narrative. So hopefully they can right the ship there.
Yeah, it's funny because for me, like you said, there is a glut of wrestling. But for me, it's like it's so unwatchable without fans in the stands. And I hate to say that because I've been a WWE fan like since I was a kid. And I have a lot of respect for the wrestlers, and they're good. They come on the podcast and I had a major problem with Vince McMahon keeping the show going, even with an empty arena. But you know, it's almost like a double whammy. I mean, he's keeping the show going, which, you know, it kind of makes me cringe that all these people are on top of each other, sweating and touching each other. And then on top of that, there's no fans in the building, which, I mean, wrestling without fans is just, you know.
I don't know how you even have it. Right. I mean, I have an 8-year-old son, and, you know, he was kind of interested in watching WrestleMania for the first time this year. And I had to tell him, like, listen, buddy, I can't introduce you to WrestleMania like this. This is not WrestleMania. You need to see 70,000 screaming fans at the top of their lungs. Like, I can't introduce it to you this way.
You're a good father, because that really is not the way to introduce someone to WrestleMania. And I thought Fox, they were doing a good job showing the old stuff, but they've sort of I feel like the network showing old games has sort of died down. Am I imagining that?
No, this is the reason why ESPN Classic saw the arc that it did. It was popular at first, and people realized that, okay, I'm not going to go back and watch old games all of the time.
Right. And yeah, like I was doing it like once every 2 or 3 weeks, and it was nice, but I'm not doing that every night.
No, I mean, you can if you're really interested, I'm sure you can find something on YouTube. And it's been nice to see some of these bigger NCAA games on CBS at the beginning. And, you know, ABC showed some old NBA finals. But eventually you want new sports. That's why sports is consumed live. People want new, fresh material.
Before we wrap up, I want to ask you one last thing, because I saw a tweet from yours that I sort of disagreed with, and I thought we could battle this one out.
You tweeted point and counterpoint. That's cool.
Yeah. You tweeted a couple of weeks ago, if Hard Knocks does end up happening in 2020, has to be record viewership for the HBO sports. Teams don't even matter this year. You stand by that?
I do stand by that.
Okay. I feel like Hard Knocks has lost a lot of its luster because of social media. I thought they had a phenomenal rebound two seasons ago when it was the Bucks Browns? 2 years ago?
Or the Bucks? Yeah, it might have been the Bucks.
No, the Browns. I'm sorry, the Browns. We had the offensive line coach who didn't believe in stretching, and the guy who was talking about his money and all that. Yeah, so the Browns 2 years ago was great. I thought the Raiders last year were an enormous bust. I thought it was one of the worst seasons ever. And I don't know if America cares about football and almost every team, but like two LA teams where nobody even there cares about football, really. I'm surprised you think there'd be so much interest. What's the mindset?
I equate it with it being almost like this. It is the start of football season. Yeah. Right. The days of Hard Knocks breaking news are over. Every time, if something's going to be on Twitter days before it airs on the Hard Knocks show. So I think Twitter is, essentially in previous years, particularly last year with the Raiders, kind of ruined the surprise element of Hard Knocks, especially with who gets cut and whatnot.
And I think not to interrupt you, but I think last year too, Mayock didn't want the cameras around, or didn't let him get filmed, so that hurt the show as well.
Yeah, they didn't want it, and they just totally danced around the Antonio Brown stuff. And as soon as the Hard Knocks ended up being the biggest story in the NFL to start the season, they just totally missed the boat on that one. But I think the LA situation is interesting for fans outside of LA. With the two teams moving into what is going to be the most state-of-the-art facility in the NFL, and combined with the fact that football is back, this is football, showing football is back. How are players being tested? What sort of social distancing efforts are going on the sidelines, at practices? I think there's going to be interest in that amongst casual viewers.
That's a good point. That one, I'll give you that. I could see that. Yeah, I'm trying to think in my head if I think of Hard Knocks as the start of the NFL season. I guess, it's lost so much of its luster over the years. Yeah. But I guess with this year, with nothing going on, it will be a big deal. So
yeah, it had nothing to do with the Chargers and Rams diaspora fans across the world. it's nothing to do with that. I don't think that there's a whole lot of avidity right now for those two teams that you mentioned.
Right. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on and breaking down some of the latest news with me. And it was good. I got some good information there, so I appreciate it. Stay safe. Enjoy the 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
You too, and thanks for having me.
Anytime. Thanks. All right, my thanks to Austin Karp for coming on. Everyone out there, stay safe. Enjoy the 4th of July weekend. Wear your mask, and we'll see you next week right here on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast.